Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod. The House That Christmas Built. I'm Jason Horton.
I'm Rebecca Lieb.
And this is Ghost Town.
Every wintry country believes that Santa Claus and his house is in their part of the world. There's a Santa Claus in Rovaniemi, Finland, called Santa's official North Pole residence. There's a Santa's house in Alaska, a Christmas-themed gift shop and mid-century Christmas destination. There's a Santa's house in Belleville, Illinois, and a Santa's celebration house in Kaksloutanen, Finland. Clearly, there are lots of places to cosplay the season and lean into the Christmas spirit, but no place has the Santa pedigree quite like the little Greenlandic cottage known as Santa's Cabin, Santa's Home, and even Santa's Summer House, immortalized by a cult Danish television show inspired by an otherworldly, dangerous, folkloric character. We'll unpack it all on today's Christmas episode of Ghost Town. Welcome to Santa's Summer House. It all began with a dream, a holiday dream, from the mind of a Danish man named Flemming Jensen. Before becoming a writer and director, Jensen spent 2 years as a school teacher in Greenland, enjoying the romance of the landscape and leaning into Greenland's wintry, remote identity. After stepping into his more creative role, he conceived of a children's Christmas TV show called, and I will butcher this, Nissebanden i Grönland, or in English, The Elf Gang in Greenland. The premise of the show is fairly simple. Santa Claus lives happily in Greenland and has a Greenlandic workshop on the ice sheet, a kind of summer house, in a way, away from the North Pole. After Santa mysteriously goes missing, a group of elves try to find and save him. Of course, the backdrop of this Christmas whodunit is Santa's summer cabin, a modest, rustic cabin called a turf hut by locals, as it is made primarily of rocks and turf, and exists about an hour from Uummannaq, a town in central western Greenland with about 1,500 residents. Though not every scene was actually filmed in Greenland, the house was, and clearly fit the part, and Danish people would soon vehemently agree. The Elf Gang in Greenland aired in 1989 and had one season of exactly 24 episodes, with one episode airing each day from December 1st to the 24th. It was like a kind of TV advent calendar, giving Danish viewers their first introduction to Greenland's landscape, culture, and architecture. Its whimsy, unique storytelling, and of course, its setting, made it a cult favorite among Danish millennials, airing nearly every year since. Now, to understand the phenomena of this show, you really have to get inside the minds of Danish people, whose commitment to Christmas is pretty unparalleled. The Elf Gang in Greenland characterization of elves, and a lot of Christmas lore, is based around a Danish mythological figure called a Nisse. Nisse are household spirits that are known to be small and human-like, often seen as long-bearded, wearing a red, brimless cap and gray clothing. Very similar to what we imagine a garden gnome looking like. The Nisse have ability to transform into animals such as a horse or a goose, unlike our garden variety garden gnome conception. So why can they change into shapes and have other powers that we will mention? Well, historically, a Nisse finds a host family, and for this family, they do household and stable chores, and of course, silly magical pranks. For this effort, the Nisse are expected to be rewarded at least once a year, most notably around winter solstice or Christmas. The name Nisse itself is rumored to be derived from the name Niels or Nicholas, introduced around the 15th to 17th century, and is related to Saint Nicholas, of course, the European Santa Claus. But unlike Santa and his love for cookies, at least in American culture, these Nisse enjoy gifts of coarse wool, tobacco, or even a shovel full of dirt. Low expectations, I suppose. The biggest gift you can give to a Nisse is their favorite food, Porridge. Porridge is expected on Christmas Eve, with a pat of butter on top. No exceptions. In a tale that is often retold in Danish folklore, one farmer put the butter underneath the porridge for his nisei. When the nisei discovered the butter was missing, he was filled with rage and killed the farmer's cow. But since the nisei was still hungry, he went back to his porridge and ate it, eventually finding the butter at the bottom of the bowl. Full of grief, he then hurried to search the lands to find another farmer with an identical cow and replaced the former with the latter. In a similar Norwegian story, a maid decided to eat the porridge herself and ended up getting severely assaulted by the nisei. It sang the words, quote, "Since you have eaten up the porridge for the nisei, you shall with the nisei have to dance." Eventually, the farmer found his maid nearly lifeless the morning after. And it gets even weirder. In a northern Danish variant of the story, the maid not only devours the porridge, but pees and defecates into the bowl. The nisei lays this maid out in the story as well. The lesson really is don't mess with your nisei, or your boss's nisei. In the 19th century, with American influence, nisei became increasingly associated with Christmas season and Christmas gift-giving. Nisei inspired Flemming Jensen, who created the elf gang in Greenland, and who then created the iconic attraction, Santa's Summer House. More on the reverberations of this iconic television show after this break.
Hi, hello, how are you?
Hello, how's it going?
The year is rounding up nicely.
We've made it. We've got but a week and a half to go.
And
it's Christmas today. This drops on Christmas.
Yeah. Christmas.
Christmas. No, actually, I'm wrong. It drops on, Wednesday, Christmas. Yeah. Two Jews just theorizing when Christmas is. Well, okay.
Listen.
Is it?
We'll never know. Who wrote all the Christmas songs? Jews.
So. Nice. Gotcha.
They're like, we didn't say anything. we're on your side.
They're like, so? Yeah.
Well.
Okay.
Anyway, we'd like to say hello to anyone who's listening us, supporting us, spreading the good word of Ghost Town. Thank you so much, including those mayors who were, they got a couple of, that turned out to be celebrity homes back in the day. This first mayor used to live in the actual home of Freddy Krueger.
Ooh.
But before he was,
scary.
When he was just kind of like, my name's Fred. I usually go by Frederick. I don't know where Freddy. Everyone's so casual with me, but it's just Frederick Krueger.
Early 20s Frederick Krueger entering the workplace.
Yeah. Well, Chris Hernandez lived with Frederick Krueger, and it was cool.
Hello. Oh, cool.
This mayor lived in a two-bedroom bungalow back in the day. With this character that went on to be a celebrity, Slimer from Ghostbusters.
Whoa, that must have been a messy home.
Yeah. It's pretty messy, but you know, pretty much ate up the deposit right away.
Yeah, you're not getting that back.
No. And Slimer went on to be Slimer.
Slimer.
And Marissa Rothermel went on to be mayor.
Hello.
this mayor used to be roomies with Jerry Maguire.
Nice. Show me the money.
Didn't have the money back then.
I remember
it was
that.
It was an apartment. Didn't have the money.
Show me the coins that might help with my parking situation.
Show me the $550 a month.
You got it.
Not as catchy, but.
No, but it still worked. It worked for them.
That's our mayor, Matthew Clemens Leray.
Hello.
This mayor lived in Australia way back
when. Whoa.
With Yahoo Sirius from the 1980s movies Yahoo Sirius.
Who knows that reference?
Do you?
No.
It was kind of like one of those kind of flat, like it was just like a popular 80s movie by this character, Yahoo Sirius, who was Australian.
Nice. Great roommate, though. Really clean.
Great roommate before the minimal stardom. lived with our mayor, Casey Weber.
Hello.
We're back in Australia already.
Oh, wow.
How quick was that?
That was quick.
With a more noteworthy Australian celeb that lived with, and it was pretty dicey, but it was a Crocodile Dundee. Is that more
that
familiar?
Reference I do know.
Okay.
I do know that.
Good, good, good. Mm-hmm. They were crocs. Mm-hmm. They were knives, if you know the movie.
And oh, yeah. Big time.
There was a mayor, Kelly Meehan.
Hello.
This mayor. This mayor. Lived in a scientific apartment with all the science gear all over the place. It was really annoying. It's like, dude, where's the coffee maker? And
you're like, we have this defibrillator and a titration system, but we don't have any coffee.
When this mayor lived with Doc from Back to the Future.
I think we see Doc's home in the third movie, maybe?
This is before
one of the movies?
This is before that one.
Okay.
This is way back. This is early
way back. He had less stuff. He had less stuff back then, but less stuff. Yeah.
I had the time travel ability, and he's like, hey, you want to time travel? It's like, yeah, can you time travel to find us our coffee maker? And he's like, oh, no. Well, that would be our coffee-less Cat Joselle.
Hello.
This mayor lived before the rock and roll. It was before the rock and roll. This mayor lived with Josie from Josie and the Pussycats.
Oh, cool.
It was pre-Pussycats and pre-music. It was
wow.
Josie
from
Josie.
Akron, Ohio.
Was working at the mall.
Yeah.
Working at Sam Goody. Saying Goody got it so much because it was like, I'm working so much there. Keep saying Goody got it. Lived with, who liked rock and roll but didn't need all that rock and roll, Ashley Madsen.
Hello.
This mayor once upon a time, and let me tell you something, it was pretty annoying because he was so freaking popular, lived with the family of Ferris Bueller before his day off.
Oh, just a family doing their thing.
Just they had an extra room, and they were like, listen, it's Chicago, you know?
Yeah.
An extra room.
I mean, the house was very nice, as I remember, so great deal.
And she was like, Ferris, P.S., what kind of name is Ferris? And two, why is he taking so many days off?
Yeah.
Because it was his day, you know, he went on to have a big day off where he made money on it. Before that, he was just taking days off for free.
Not good. Bad economics.
Well, that would be our mayor, and then I'll stick a name in there. And then our governor, who...
Our governor.
If you think our governor ever had a roommate, you are...
Please.
No.
Please. Sharing her space with y'all? No.
Lived in the White House and just let the presidents live there. She's also hundreds of years old. She's a vampire. But who knows? Right. You know what I mean? Listen, when people in power, how old are they? They always look 25, but they're like 500 years old. I don't know.
The resources they have are something we will never know and can't even imagine. Skincare routine, you have no idea.
You don't want to know
what these people are doing.
The knowledge is dangerous.
It is. It's actually a high security, you need to scan your fingerprint to even get to the room where they may or may not have that information.
And once you get it in your brain, you won't know what to do with it. The responsibility will crush you.
You go insane.
Unlike us, you go insane. Well, that would be our governor, Avian Noble.
Noble.
If you want no ads, no chit-chat, bonus episodes, new one up now, just the good stuff, 7 days free, head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod. You want to get back into it?
Let's get back into a different house.
Decades later, the series' lasting popularity and impact has left the home outside of Uummannaq in the Danish collective imagination as Santa's actual summer home. A welcome sign even proclaims downtown Uummannaq, quote, Santa's vacation paradise. The cabin, of course, reflects this sentiment and hasn't been changed at all since the show aired over 30 years ago. The cabin's interior wasn't actually used for the show, but it is fully furnished by locals and contains a bed, tables, chairs, cabinets, rugs, a fireplace, a stove, pots and pans, a sewing machine, framed photos from the show, and various decorations and memorabilia, also from the Elf Gang in Greenland. A guest book allows visitors to share their thoughts and reflections, but maybe most notably is what is inside the various drawers in odd shelves, bureaus, and built-ins all over the cabin. If you open one of the various drawers at Santa's summer house, you'll find dozens of letters left by children, some dating back more than 20 years. Of course, popular destination for Danish millennials, many of the letters are from that group, that category, wanting to connect with a seminal piece of media from their childhoods. But it also kind of serves as a station for children, new and old, to share some of their own Christmas wishes and spirit. While the cabin is still inspiring, the landscape has become a bit more problematic. Back when the Elf Gang in Greenland was filmed, the area was covered with a field of ice so thick and stable that you could drive a car on it. But by 2011, climate change had melted everything around the house. Now only sea exists where a fjord once did, making it only accessible by walking an hour-long path, really more of a hike, from Umanak. But not to leave you on a downer note, if you can make it there, the house is very easily accessible, and adorably so. According to Atlas Obscura in their entry on Santa's house, quote, "The front door of the house is sometimes locked, but you can borrow a key by asking a local hotel. Alternately, you should be able to easily and safely step in through the window." Good luck, Christmas explorers, and please let us know if you've ever made it safely to Santa's summer house. In the meantime, from your friends at Ghost Town Podcast HQ, have a wonderful holiday, whether you're scaling one of Greenland's fjords or just relaxing at home.